The Meaning of Marxism by Paul Diamato. Section: The Rise of Capitalism, Greed Unbounded. Quote: Long, long ago, there were two sorts of people. One, the diligent, intelligent, and above all, frugal elite. The other, lazy rascals, spending their substance and more in riotous living. This insipid childishness, this historical fairy tale, wrote Marx, is what usually passes as an explanation as to why capitalist society is divided between the very rich and the rest of us. The true explanation is far less flattering to the so-called elite. It is a notorious fact that conquest, enslavement, robbery, murder, in short, force, play the greatest part in the rise of capitalism. End quote. All class societies are determined by the fact that there is a majority that works to keep a minority in idleness. A majority that slogs away, and a minority that skims all extra wealth over and above the subsistence needs of the majority. As Marx wrote, wherever a part of society possesses the monopoly of the means of production, the worker, free or unfree, must add to the labor time necessary for his own maintenance an extra quantity of labor time in order to produce the means of subsistence for the owner of the means of production. Whether this proprietor be an Etruscan theocrat, a Civis Romanus, a Norman baron, an American slave owner, a Wallachian boyar, a modern landlord, or capitalist. End quote. Each class society has its own character, defined by the form that the exploitation takes. Quote, the form in which surplus labor is in each case extorted from the immediate producer, the worker. Under slavery and feudalism, the way in which a surplus was extracted was completely transparent. Anything produced over and above the costs of purchasing the slave and maintaining him, which varied depending on whether the owner profited more from working the slave to death or stretching his service out longer, was taken by the slave owner as surplus product. The feudal peasant or serf was required either to hand over a portion of his crop to the lord, and or the state in rent, tithes, or taxes, or to perform unpaid labor, called corvée, for the lord. The vast majority of the population produced what they needed to live on rather than buying it from others. Whereas serf and slave labor was to varying degrees forced or bonded labor, modern capitalism is dependent on free labor. This sweet-sounding term, however, disguises a bitter truth. The free does not only refer to the fact that the wage worker is no longer owned, body and soul, like a slave, or tied to the same land, like a serf. Marx noted that free also means the worker is free of any possession of land or tools, or any guaranteed means of livelihood, and therefore compelled on pain of destitution to hire him or herself out piecemeal, unencumbered, as Marx facetiously wrote, by any means of production of their own. Whereas in previous societies, trade was secondary, if not marginal, capitalism is the first system of production in which all economic intercourse involves the buying and selling of commodities, and where other forms are marginal. But capitalism is also more than that. It is a system where the labor itself, or a person's capacity to work, becomes a commodity that can be bought and sold on the market. Under feudalism, people were tied to the land or owned their own tools and workshops. A condition for capitalism to develop fully, then, was the separation, by force, fraud, and legal sanction, of the direct producers from land and tools on one side, and the concentration of all the land and instruments of production into the hands of a few rich capitalists on the other. There were several sources from which the capitalist class came, from merchants who amassed great wealth from the trade in commodities, including spices, cloth, and slaves, from peasants who were able to buy land and become capitalist farmers, and from master craftsmen in the towns who transformed themselves into small capitalists and, by gradually extending their exploitation of wage labor and the corresponding accumulation, into capitalists. Far more important in the development of the bourgeoisie, or capitalist class, though, were the merchants, who moved beyond pure buying and selling to become full-fledged capitalists, that is, exploiters of labor as well as sellers of commodities. First, they put out material to artisans and laborers to be worked up, initially in the home or in small scattered workshops, where the material would be made into finished commodities and sold for a profit. Later, these merchants would bring the laborers under one roof to work, the precursor of the modern factory. This process was dependent upon two developments: the ability of merchants to amass fortunes in order to build larger capitalistic enterprises, and the availability of a labor force for these new enterprises. A period of primitive accumulation, or original expropriation, as Marx also called it, was necessary, involving, quote, the expropriation of the agricultural producer, of the peasant, from the soil, as well as the destruction of the old skilled handicrafts of the villages and farms. The merchants were also able to build up their immense fortunes through conquest and forced labor in the colonies, with considerable aid from the state. The new class of wage workers was created by forcible theft of the common lands that the peasants had depended on for their livelihood. English landed gentry and big farmers, for example, taking advantage of the high price of wool, simply enclosed common lands, claiming them for their own, and turned them into sheep pastures. Soldiers were sent to drive tenants and small landholders by force from the land they had tilled for centuries. Laws were then enacted in the 15th and 16th centuries that punished unlicensed begging and vagrancy with whipping, imprisonment, and for a third offense, death. Thus were agricultural folk forcibly expropriated from the soil, wrote Marx, driven from their homes, turned into vagabonds, and then whipped, branded, and tortured by grotesquely terroristic laws into accepting the necessary discipline for the system of wage labor. End quote. In the history of capitalism, this process has never been repeated in exactly the same way. In colonial America, for example, the issue was not how to free up peasants to be workers, because there weren't any peasants to be had. Moreover, free immigrants tended to seek land rather than work in the towns and cities. Any employer that wanted to get around paying the relatively high wages that such a tight labor market allowed looked in two directions: both involving forced labor. Indentured servants from Europe, people who signed a contract compelling them to work for several years for a master in exchange for passage. In the South and in the Caribbean, a system of plantation exploitation based on the use of slaves from Africa became the preferred method for securing a cheap and plentiful supply of labor. Alongside the creation of this new class of free laborers came the development of unfree labor in the New World. In fact, noted Marx, the veiled slavery of the wage workers in Europe needed, for its pedestal, slavery pure and simple in the New World. End quote. Marx and Engels' condensed description on the rise of the bourgeoisie and of a world market in the Communist Manifesto emphasizes capitalism's dynamism, explaining how exploration, the discovery of the New World, and the spread of the colonies gave a tremendous boost to commerce and industry.
But these proceedings, wrote Marx in Capital, were in truth written in the annals of mankind in letters of blood and fire. The discovery of gold and silver in America, wrote Marx, quote, the extirpation, enslavement, and entombment in mines of the indigenous population, the beginnings of the conquest and plunder of the East Indies, the turning of Africa into a warren for the commercial hunting of black skins, are all things which characterize the dawn of the era of capitalist production. These idyllic proceedings are the chief moments of primitive accumulation. End quote. The development of capitalism spurred the growth of mass industry and an integrated world market. Through sheer economic weight, and also by outright force, capitalism compelled the world to follow in its own image. In one word, for exploitation, veiled by religious and political illusions, Marx and Engels wrote in the Manifesto, quote, it has substituted naked, shameless, direct, brutal exploitation. Profit at any cost became the all-consuming, driving force of all economic activity. In Capital, Marx cites a trade unionist chilling observation made in 1860. Quote, with adequate profit, capital is very bold. A certain 10% will ensure its employment anywhere. 20% will produce eagerness. 50% positive audacity. 100% will make it ready to trample on all human laws. 300%, and there is not a crime at which it will scruple, nor a risk it will not run, even to the chance of its owner being hanged. If turbulence and strife will bring a profit, it will freely encourage both. Smuggling and the slave trade have amply proved all that is stated here. End quote. And end of section.